Passage today is 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Please be seated. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your Son. We pray that even as I look to expound this word, that you would send your Spirit and that you would take away from us, and that we would be able to see your word clearly, that it would bring conviction in our lives, and that lives would be changed, and that we would be able to see you clearly. We ask all this in your name. Amen. If you look at your instep today, you would see that the sermon has something that is basically talks about time. And if you look at your sermon and you look at what the title of the sermon is, it says time is running out. And it's amazing because the idea of time is that there is a certain amount of time that each one of us has. And John, while writing this epistle, writing to the believers, brings about that time is running out. He starts with an endearment in this particular passage. John is actually, if you look at the epistle of 1 John, you will see that there's a lot of times that John actually calls us little children. And that's to do, A, with John's age. He would probably have been in his late 80s or 90s at this point of time. He had seen the Messiah. He had been a youngster of, you know, fiery blood in that sense. Jesus himself had called them the, you know, the sons of thunder. John has talked to us about being a witness. And as we've already seen, being a witness is not just about talking about things, but the word witness in the New Testament even serves as the same word for martyr. That is to die for the truth that you know about. John is already in a place where he is going to die, and he still writes to the church to bring to them the knowledge of the things that he has, that he's witnessed. He's talked about light. He's talked about the tests of A, confession of sin, A, fellowship with believers, the second test, to know if you're really Christian, to have the assurance of a Christian. He talks about the hatred of the world, and we saw that the last time that I spoke from this pulpit. We talked about how the world, we had to hate the world, not love the world, the things of the world, all of these things that tempt us, and how really passing away they are. Then John comes into an interesting way, and not really a digression, but the last part might have been a digression, and he gets into this part, and he says that it is the last hour. What do you mean? What do you, when we think about the last hour, and when we think about, we don't really understand how precious time is. Why do we say that? Just give you an analogy of how this last hour meant to John was probably something like this. There was a little boy, and the boy was told by his parents, you need to get back home the moment you hear the third bell, the moment it is 12 o'clock. Boy is 8 years old, and he's being looked after by his grandma because his parents are away at work. What happens is the boy, every time it came to the second dong, he would run back home because he knew that this is what had to take place. But on one particular day in the village, at the 12th hour, the dong rang maybe 10 times. And he runs back home and he tells his grandma, "Grandma, grandma, it's later than it has ever been before." That is the kind of idea that John is presenting to us in this epistle right now. He says, it is the last hour. Right? And we've seen those things happen, right? You have games, you have games that go into the last minute and the last second and things that are finding there. And John does this as a warning that time is running out. What do you mean by the last hour? The last hour began since the time Jesus ascended and went back into heaven. The apostles themselves would look forward to Jesus coming back and taking them along with him. From the moment he left, what they were looking forward to was Jesus coming back again. It has been growing in intensity since that point of time. But, you know, anticlimactically, what has happened is, the longer Jesus has been away, the more our hearts get colder to the return of Jesus. And John wants to bring Jesus right here in front of our faces. He wants to tell us it is the last hour. The latter times are described in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Why don't we turn there? It says, "But the Spirit explicitly says in the later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." The marks of the last hour are seen at this point of time. And how does John actually demonstrate and designate those? He says, "As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming." Now, we can do a lot of study on the Antichrist. But since our present, what we are looking at is about the last hour, the time that is coming in, and the things to do about the time, we're just going to be looking a little bit of what the Antichrist is. There's two ideas of what the Antichrist is. One is that it is an idea in and of itself, and it is an idea that opposes Christ. The second, and through careful study of Scripture, you will see, it is a person, a being, and that is what we hold to. The Bible is emphatically clear who the Antichrist is. It says there would be one particular man who will be the most complete and culminate in a powerful Antichrist. We haven't seen him yet. There have been Antichrists that have come before. You go through history and you will always see that there have been people who've talked about Mussolini, Hitler, Nero, Nero the Wrathful, Nero's son. And all of those have been kind of pseudo in those sense, but they have not been the Antichrist as what the Bible tells us. For us to know who the Antichrist is, why don't we turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will come, unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." Make no mistake, the Antichrist is coming. John gives us this warning. He is the culminating and the final one. It's singular in that sense. Any of the versions that you take, whether it is Antichrist, or you look at it as a principle, or you look at it as an object, what it does do is take away from worship of Jesus. If you do remember in our introduction to this episode, we talked about Jesus, we talked about John, and the reason why John was writing this episode. And one of those reasons was to the Gnostics. And the Gnostics did not believe that Jesus existed in the flesh. They either thought that he was fully human and not really God, that he had a certain point of period when the Spirit descended on him, he was sometimes God. But no, John had seen, John had heard, John had witnessed, John had touched. And John makes known to everybody that Jesus was fully man, yet he was fully God. Jesus always existed. The Antichrist that John talks about here is one who subtly tries to take the place of Christ from within the church and the Christian community. You have these subtleties even in today's church. Which is why John goes on to say that many antichrists have come. What does John mean? He's talked about the Antichrist. He said he is coming. And he talks about many antichrists have come. It's amazing because John at this time has lived through maybe about 70 odd years of the new church, of the new church age in that sense. While Paul and the other apostles have gone about preaching, John along with them, John has probably outlived all of them and is probably at the island of Patmos while he writes this. And John writes about this amazingly because he has seen people who have come in the guise of being Christian. And John has identified them. It's amazing that a lot of people think that John only talks about love. He's the apostle of love. But when you look at John, John is categorical in how he describes these who try to usurp Jesus' deity. And John goes on to say that these are the same people who are within the church. They have presumably infiltrated the ranks of the body of Christ. And understand this, while John was writing this, to be a Christian meant to be a martyr. Satan had started his work at that point of time itself. You had people who were professing to be Christians, and through insidious deviances of the doctrine of what was there of Christ, were bringing about people to get them away from what the truth was. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. If you read from verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Who is John talking about? He's talking about Satan. Satan is at work in the church itself. He's at work in the body of Christ. He had people who came in masquerading as believers. And you see, this is the same idea that the Apostle Paul had when he was writing, when you look at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." False teachers. doctrines is assault, the deity of Christ. Foundational doctrines. And they worm themselves right into your affections. And you look at it, and it's amazing. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to read the Screwtape Letters, but if you do, please grab a hold of that book, and when you read it, you'll understand. And it's amazing because when C.S. Lewis writes about it, he talks about Screwtape and Wormwood. And when you look at it, he talks about how the devil is in two minds. One, to either deny the existence of Christ, or rather, fool them with the existence of Christ through little tidbits that doubt the authenticity of who Christ is. The Apostle Paul talks about it. John talks about it. Peter talks about it. These are the antichrists. Anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ denies both Jesus and his Father. And it's amazing because when you look at verse 18 again, John says, because of these guys and because of these people who have arisen, this tells us that it is the last hour. Right? What is the reason that someone would tell you, hey, be careful? It's the last hour. John does it to tell us to bring up your defense. Be aware. The Apostle Paul does it in Acts chapter 20. Be aware. He does it in Corinthians. Time is running out. But the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, how will you live today? Do you live with a temporal perspective? Or do you live with eternity in your grasp? Then we move on to the marks of those who follow the Antichrist. The first part which you look at them, it tells us they went out from us, which means at a certain point of time they were in us. They look like us, they talk like us, they pray like us, but they were not really of us. How do we know that? Because they went from us. They are those who are deceived voluntarily by the Spirit, their own spirit. They have departed from the doctrinal positions that the church had about who Jesus was, who Jesus continued to be. And how does it show to people whether they were really a part or not? It is by this, that they went out. They look the same, they talk the same, but they aren't really the same because they haven't bowed down to Christ, they haven't accepted Him, they haven't repented truthfully. How do we know that? Because they are not part of the universal church. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we all have been baptized by one Spirit into one body. Here we are not talking about doctrinal differences that are in that sense when you look at it, it doesn't make a big deal, but we're talking about foundational doctrines. The doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of salvation. And you go back and you can think about the soils. Jesus himself talked about it. Right? The seeds that had those different soils and what happens to them. It's the same always. Those who believe that they're saved and are not really saved. Those who are not saved and believe that they're saved. And through some kind of, you know, think that they found the truth that nobody else has seen, which kind of emanates within to religious cults and other things which are completely not what the Bible teaches. They think they found truth that nobody else has ever seen, nobody else has ever heard, and that what they have seen is probably, you know, the only way to go about things. They haven't been changed, really. The Christ that they follow is a Christ of their own making, not the Christ of the Bible. And you look at this and it talks about they did not continue with us but went out. Now, continuance or perseverance is one of the biggest things of a Christian that show who a Christian is. Because a Christian does that till he dies and he's glorified. You look at the 5 points of Calvin and P is there. P stands for the perseverance of the saint. Are you weary? Are you tired? Does it get hard to stand for the truth? But what does John say? If you're truly Christian, you will persevere to the end. A clear distinction is that they will follow for a certain point of time, and when the going gets tough, they will let go. Because they don't really know who Christ is. The sacrifice that they have been called to make seems to be too much for them. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, you will see that. John Bunyan writes about it when Pilgrim is walking up that hill. Burden is heavy. Pilgrim perseveres. And John is very, very direct here when he says, the marks of those who follow the Antichrist are they are liars. A, they deny who Jesus is. And if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. You don't get to pick and choose what you believe in the Bible. It is universal. You either believe it all or you believe none of it. Those who follow these antichrists are people who mingle with the people of God. They might even profess the name of Christ, but they've never tasted of regenerative grace. They've never gone down at that cross and seen how dirty their sin is. They've never received the washing and regeneration, washing through the blood of Christ. And you know, it's a little amazing because the Christian life is the hardest life to ever live on the earth without Christ. Because without Christ, it is dry, insipid, and all it seems to be is a bunch of rules. Without the person of Christ, it is the hardest thing to ever do in your life. To be a Christian, and John 3:3 talks about this, a man must be born again. In fact, it says, without being born again, forget about belonging, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Which is why today, in most of our churches, we have a sense of superficiality. Right? People who come there, profess, want to be the half an hour Christian, and walk back. And you have these men, women, who mingle with these Christians, talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. And this is a question for each one of us here today. Have I really faced my sins in the light of who Christ is? Have I truly turned to the cross and received grace? Do I know how bad my sin is in the sight of a holy God? Do I cling to the refuge that is set before me in the gospel, in Christ, in His forgiveness of my sins? Ask yourself these questions. And then when you do, ask yourself this. Have I the evidence? Do I see evidence in the way that I live my life that shows that I have become regenerate? Do I love to obey the Lord? Jesus tells us, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you do, I don't call you slaves, but I call you my brothers. And I can speak about it for myself, that earlier I would live a life that seemed to be under Christian grace, but it wasn't. Because it seemed that you were three different people with three different areas. At work, I'm a different person. With the people at church, I'm a different person. With the people who are my friends, I'm a different person. With everybody, it is different. But when Christ washes you, and when you know who Christ is, you are the same. And He brings about conviction in your life. Because you are a sinner. Right? And when you think about this, it just gets so difficult, right? How do I know if I'm Christian? How do I know if I'm not being deceived? John puts this to me in such a way that I'm looking at it and I'm getting scared for myself. Right? Where are these antichrists? Are they here right now with me? What do I do? Right? And most of the time when we think about it, we get scared, right? How do I discern? What happens to me? Right? But John continues. And then he tells us what the marks are of people who truly follow Christ. And it's amazing because the way that John puts it, he gives you the problem and he tells you what the solution is. And who the solution is, rather, at this point of time. The first thing that John tells us is that you have been anointed by the Holy One. When you talk about an anointing, and as the Bible teaches us about anointing, the anointing is somebody who has been given, it was either oil, it was something else, but they were anointed so that it would stay with them. And the mark of the true follower of Christ is that you have been anointed by God, the Holy Spirit. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. You have been anointed by God the Holy Spirit. You look at 1 John itself, and in chapter 4 verse 13, John goes on to tell us, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And it's amazing because Jesus himself said, greater is he who is in you than he who is out in the world. The first part of a true follower of Christ is that he has been anointed by the Holy One. The second part is he has all knowledge. Please turn with me to John chapter 16. And read from verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, for whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And he goes on to say, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. The Spirit gives you, through his anointing, residing in you, gives you knowledge and discernment. Think about the time that you were regenerated. Your eyes were opened to the gospel in a way that they never were before. How did that happen? It's supernatural. You can't explain it. You were able to discern that this is the truth. Jesus died for me. God's Spirit opens our blind eyes. In fact, the Bible not just talks about the blind eyes, but it talks about that which was dead was made alive. The simple gospel message is what John tells them to defend themselves with. He's telling them, you already have the defense that you need. You don't need me. You've got God, the Holy Spirit, within you. He has anointed you. You have all knowledge. And what does His knowledge help you to do? Look at that part. It helps you to discern truth from lies. As believers, where do we see this truth? You don't need to go to books. You don't need to have commentaries. You need to go to the Word of God. Do you discipline yourself as believers to go to the Word of God and to spend time in intimacy with God? Do you lack knowledge? Let him ask of God and he will give it. But where does he give it? He doesn't give it to you without you reading his word. John is reminding us that the truth is already in us. You know, years ago we used to watch the X-Files. The X-Files, the adage for that used to be the truth is out there. It isn't. The truth is in the Word of God. And the great part about the truth is, no matter what the world tells you today, is that the truth is objective. It is not subjective. Or if you're a computer guy, it is binary. It is either 0 or 1. There is no both. And John is emphatic in the way that he describes this. You know the truth from a lie. What is truth? Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you eternal rest. John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you know who Christ is today? Or are you living a lie? The lie that the world tells you. That you have a lot of time. Don't make those decisions now. Procrastinate. Push it further. Wait a little bit longer. Why do you need to submit your youth? You're young. Your whole life is ahead of you. Those are the lies of the world. Paul gives us that clarion call when he writes in Corinthians. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This is almost like there's a guy with a grenade and he's taken it off and this is about to go off. Your only refuge is Christ. Don't wait for kaboom. It is the last hour. Time is running out. Fourth mark about those who follow Christ is you confess about who the Son is. You know that Jesus is fully man and fully God. There was no divine emanation from Christ. Jesus was not just a man for some time and then he became God. He was, he is, and will always be God. And it's amazing because John drives a parallel here. What John is doing is putting forth Jesus and saying that this is Jesus. This is the Jesus of the Bible. How do you know that? Because he talks about Jesus is the Christ. Then he talks about denying the Son leads to denying the Father. The only way to the Father is through the Son. How do we know that? Look at John again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. An assault on Jesus' divinity is an assault on the Father himself. Because it was the Father who said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And this is what the Antichrist do. Through various twisted devices, what they try to do is say, with a grain of truth, that there is some lie. You go back even to the Garden of Eden, and you will see that that is what Satan did from there, on itself. Did God really say not to eat of this fruit? I don't think so. Did God tell you not to eat? And if you look at it, it was quite, in that sense, Machiavellian, when you look at it and you think about it. Because he said, did God tell you not to eat of any fruit? Waited for the answer, and you know, as marketing people, if you've been in marketing, they tell you that's the way to open the conversation. Don't go in for a direct no. Get them to think about it before you approach that subject. John brings it forth and says, right? There is just one way. There is just Jesus. Fully God and fully man. There is just one way to salvation, and that's only through Jesus. You look at today. Today is all about compromise. But in the church, it has started as well. But John, writing at this time, has seen the last star, heralds it, and gives you a clarion call to each and every one of us believers, saying, be careful. Be on your guard. Today, in conclusion, as we look at it, who are you today? Are you one who lives with truth, or are you one who lives with compromise? Today, if you were to die, would you be in heaven, or would you be someone who has fooled yourself into going into hell? Do you stand today as a witness for Jesus? Or do you stand as a witness for yourself, king of your life? Time is running out.